1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Then I'll read Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 10. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. It says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God." We've been talking, singing, participating in these last 21 days about awakening. The scripture says, "Awaken to righteousness." Now look at Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. It's a beautiful picture of what a revival looks like. Of course, this was literally fulfilled, or it literally will be fulfilled in the restoration of Israel in the end times, but there is so much that we can pull out of this that applies to us. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he led me around them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?'" Listen, maybe some of you, there's some dry bones, so to speak, in your life, in your marriage. Some challenges that you're facing, and maybe you're wondering, man, can these things live again? Can this marriage live again? Can this business live again? Can I live again? Can I get on fire for God? Can I get over this past hurt? Can I move beyond this struggle or this loss that I've recently experienced? "Son of man, can these bones live again?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.'" Aren't you glad that God has a word for your life? "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" God wants us alive so that we can bring Him glory, so that we can have a testimony in our lives, so that we can radiate the life of Christ to a lost world and to people that are far from God. He says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, and there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds." We know that winds always represent the Holy Spirit in Scripture. "Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe on these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. How many of you know God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think or ask? I want to talk to you about having a move of God, and especially the move of God that we're going to experience over this next week. And I've just simply entitled this message, Revival. Revival. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word for these next 20 minutes or so. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. God, I thank you that truly we are experiencing, and will even experience at a greater level, an awakening and a revival. And we give you all the thanks and praise for what you're going to do this week. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. You know, it was several years ago, and I was on a flight. I was speaking up in Washington, D.C., and I was on this flight leaving D.C., coming back to Jacksonville. And as we were going in the air, you know, I'm like you, I fly a lot, and, you know, I pretty much know all the, you know, flight rules and regulations. You know, wait till 10,000 feet before turning on your laptop, all that kind of stuff. Well, evidently, on this flight, I hadn't heard about this, but there was some rule, and it might just apply to D.C. because of the terrorist attacks, but they had a rule that not only could you not turn on your laptop, but there was an additional rule, like, you cannot get up and go to the bathroom. And I don't know if it was 10,000 feet, it was 20,000 feet, it had nothing to do with the light being on or off, it was just this, maybe it was a time thing for how far you had to be out of the nation's capital before you could go to the bathroom, okay? I didn't hear them say that on the announcement or anything like that. And so the plane is going, and so there's this kid sitting up in front of me, a couple of seats. He's like a college kid. He's got on a hat. He's probably like 18, 19 years old. I think he's got some college books with him, and he just kind of there, just kind of messing around, you know, had his iPod and all that kind of stuff. And so we're going up, and he just kind of gets up. He doesn't go to the front of the plane. He goes to the back of the plane, and he goes in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, he wasn't a stewardess. He was a steward dude. Steward guy. Flight helper. I don't know what you call the guys. You know what I'm saying? I'm used stewardess, but he's a steward. Steward man. He was. So this college kid goes in the back, and I'm kind of sitting there, and you know, he goes in there, and all of a sudden, this steward guy comes back there, and he knocks on the door. Dun, 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 dun. Sir, return to your seat immediately. You are breaking the rules. You are breaking the rules. And the guy didn't, like, there was no, you know, he didn't open the door immediately and come right there. And I mean, it just seemed like the guy only waited a few seconds. And this steward guy just lost it. I mean, he is beating on the door and he's saying, FAA regulations! FAA regulations! You're violating the beating. I mean, it is a scene. And all the passengers are panicked. I mean, they think it's like, you know, Osama bin Laden's nephew in there, something like that. I mean, I saw the kid. He's just at college. I saw him go in there. Wasn't in the front, just the back. And so he's doing all this, and finally this poor kid kind of pops. He was in there doing number two. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why he didn't just open the door. I mean, he had to, you know, clean up. I mean, he had to get off the pot, unloading one back up in there. Man, and the kid, you know, he came out and the guy was just ripping into him and he was so ashamed and he just looked confused, and I was confused because maybe they announced that rule, that regulation. I never heard them say that. And really the flight was kind of confused because I don't think, maybe it was announced, but nobody really, a few people did, but nobody really understood what was going on. Of course, the kid was in shame. It was confusion. You know, they almost rerouted the plane. We got back to Jacksonville, but it was just a deal. Just hollering rules and regulations with this kid who had no understanding of what's going on. And you know, sometimes I wonder, is the way the church perceived by those who are lost and far from God, do they just perceive us as an organization that's yelling a bunch of rules and regulations? And they don't even know what being a Christian is supposed to be. They don't even know what Christianity looks like. And that's why we read in that scripture, it's very important, the order here in 1 Corinthians 15:34. The Bible tells us, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. And unfortunately, for too long, the church has been, you know, here's the rules and regulation. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin. But we have left out the awaken part. And before someone can truly understand what being a follower of Christ is all about, they're first going to have to awaken to righteousness. It's impossible to not sin until you first awaken unto righteousness. And in the church, that's how we communicate what a Christ follower is all about. It's not just the words that we speak, but it is the life that we live. And it's not just, I don't drink or smoke or, you know, what. It's not just can I tell you something? That doesn't attract people. The Mormons can do that. Let me tell you, Mormons are a lot more holier than you when it comes to do's and don'ts. They don't even drink caffeine. That's how you know that sect is not from God. By the way, Mormonism is not Christianity. I don't care what anything you watch on TV or what anybody else says, okay? They have another gospel. It's the Book of Mormon. It actually says another gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says if anybody preaches another gospel other than this one, let him be accursed. Whoo, I'm not even going to get through this message today. But here's what people need to see, what they're looking for. They're looking for the life of Jesus. That is the attraction element. It's the love of God. It's not just the rah, rah, rah. What does Paul say? He says, look, if I can do all these great things, but I don't have love, you know what I am? I'm just a clanging cymbal. Bah, 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 bah. I have to have love. It's the awakening. It's the life of God. As the church demonstrates the life of God, that is the greatest attraction to those who are far from God as to what a follower of Christ really looks like and the benefits thereof. And that's why God, listen, that is why God is for revival. That is why God is for an awakening. The season we do every January, the book I wrote last year, Awakening, it's all about us or you as a follower of Jesus having a personal awakening and how to sustain that throughout the year. It's about awakening unto righteousness. It's about coming alive where you're demonstrating the essence of Jesus, where our lives just aren't noise. We read there in Ezekiel about, you know, the bones started to come together, but eventually they were just noise. You know, they had a body at first, but there was no life in them. Listen, God wants you to have His life in you and through you. He wants you to, what is revival? What is a revive? Just thinks revived. Someone was dead or someone was out and then they were revived. That's what revival is. It's coming alive. It's an awakening. It's waking up to the presence and purposes of God like never before. It's the pursuit of God. It's having a passion for God that overrides your passion for other things. It's about a passion to know Christ, to know Jesus, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Having an awakening is about your personal pursuit to apprehend that which God apprehended you for. It's deep calling unto deep. It's you seizing and laying hold of what God has for your life. And it's seizing and laying hold of God Himself like never before. That's why when it comes to revival, you can't just say, or a church can't just say, oh, we're having a revival. How many of you are familiar with the concept of revival? Maybe you were younger, maybe you went to like a Baptist church and they would pick out a week in the year and they just have revival every night. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We're having a revival. Well, listen, in my humble opinion, I don't think you can just say we're having a revival. When I was young, when I was in college, I led a prayer meeting for 3 years, Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. where we prayed for a revival. You know, a revival, we were praying for revival at our university. When I was there, that revival never came. But I believe now what I'm seeing at Celebration Church, I believe that 15 years later, now I'm beginning to see the answers of those prayers that I prayed at 5 a.m. Over this last month, just this last month, we've had over 1,700 decisions for Christ. Can you give God a hand for that? And who knows, that's why it's so important, this water baptism over the revival. It's so important that if you need to get water baptized, man, this at the beginning of the year, at the end of the 21 days, it's so important that you seal that decision publicly. But the things that we're seeing and the things that we're seeing God doing and the miracles that we're seeing God doing. See, what revival is, by the time you say, okay, we're having some revival meetings, all you're doing is kind of putting a name around what God is already doing. And you're just trying to seize that at the next level. It's like a lay hold moment. And that's why over these, not, you know, people think, well, revival's evangelism. A revival is not evangelism. We evangelize every day of our lives. There are going to be people that you brought to church today and this weekend, they're going to give their lives to Christ. You'll bring them to the revival. And they will. They'll get saved. But it's more than that. Revival is for the church, that the church comes alive in a greater way to the presence and power of God. And listen, when we have the life of Jesus coming through us, when that kind of love is coming through us, listen, love is what the world cannot stop. Love is what the world, the love of God, that is something that nobody can manipulate. That is something nobody can manufacture. That is something that no one can counterfeit. The love of Christ. When that is demonstrated to the world, they'll come in by the droves. Now I would like to start my message with 8 minutes left. God is the essence of life. He's the giver of life. He wants His church in revival. He wants His church in awakening. Just a couple of things I want to pull out from there in Ezekiel 37. You know, first of all, God told Ezekiel this. He says, Ezekiel, He says, look, I want you to prophesy to these bones because I want these bones to live. I want you to think about your own life, things, miracles that you need, breakthroughs that you need. He says, I want you to prophesy to these bones. Not, hey, I want you to have a seminar around these bones. Hey, I want you, everyone, get together and let's do some group counseling and some group therapy. And here's your four. Listen, some of you, your marriage is beyond therapy and counseling. You need the word of the Lord prophesied to you to bring that dead thing back to life. Some of you past abuse and pain and how you've messed yourself all up with drugs or addictions or whatever. Your past, just therapy's good. Counseling's good. But you got to get more than that. You got to get the power of God in that situation. You need the prophetic word of the Lord to bring you back to life. Come on, man. Somebody help me out. But it's real interesting. He prophesies, but there's a twofold kind of manifestation. He prophesies, and at first, yes, the bones come together, but remember, they're just rattling. Clanging cymbal, sounding brass. They're rattling. And then all of a sudden, the flesh comes upon them, and their bodies are there, but there's no breath in them. They're still not alive. And see, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people think Christianity is. It's what a lot of people, even what a lot of churches do. We get the form. We get the doctrine. We get the rules. We even get the practical. We get the form. But can I tell you, the form without the breath is just religion. It's not revival. It's what Paul talked about. Some have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Yes, they're saved. Yes, they're going to heaven, but you don't see any real supernatural power of God in their life to overcome, to have that life of God in them, for that revival power to come. Listen, God is not about you just getting saved and bunkering down until He comes back and wraps this thing up. You know what it says there? He breathed in them. They became an army. He wants you to become a warrior. He wants you to become a fighter. You got to fight for your kids. You got to fight for your wife. You got to fight for yourself. And you got to fight for God. Somebody better help me out in this place. Man. So here's what he says. He says, look, prophesy. The winds are going to come, represents the Holy Spirit. My breath is going to come through the wind, and they're going to live. See, the winds are going to come. The Holy Spirit represents the winds. Now, we're talking about an awakening. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. The wake up is in the wind. The wake up. What do you go? Hey, they've got the form, they've got the body, they've got the religion part. They've got the logos, they've got that. They've got the letter. They need the spirit. And these bones aren't going to live until the wind of God comes. And then the wake up is in the wind. And here's what happens after that. That wind, and some of you, this has happened over the 21 days. That wind, to many of you, over these next Wednesday through Saturday night, man, it is going to come into your life at a next level. That's what these four nights is all about. It's about the wind of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God coming into you, awakening those things that were dead, coming back to life, experiencing miracles, experiencing the supernatural. And guess what? By the time you walk out of here next weekend, you might have been wounded. You might have been a victim. You might have, you know, seen yourself as dead. You might have been looker, whatever. You're going to walk out of here as part of a mighty army, as a warrior for God. Amen. Healed up. Because here what? The wake up's in the wind. He wakes you up, and then guess what? I'm fasting. The wake up's in the wind, and then the breakthrough is in the breath. When you get woken up, all of a sudden what was impossible becomes possible. The wake up's in the wind, and then all of a sudden you're in the position, awaken unto righteousness and sin not. You could just awaken unto righteousness and then fill in the blank. And then this can be healed, and then this can be fixed, and then you can be set free from this addiction. And then you can overcome these sin. I mean, just fill in the blank after it. See, you wake up in the wind, and then you'll have a breakthrough in the breath. That's what Wednesday through Saturday night is all about. How many of you need some breakthroughs in some areas in your lives? Let me just give you three things real quickly how to approach the revival next week. But first of all, I want to read to you here out of Mark and kind of set up those three things. This is the verse that God gave me for these nights. In Mark 1, 32 through 34, it says, "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Look, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons." The Bible said they brought to him all who were sick and demon-possessed at evening, at sundown. So while we're kind of theming this Awakening Nights Revival Conference, and here's what I believe. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and said, look, it's not the well who need a doctor, but the sick? And I believe all of us have some sickness in us. We have some sin. We have some past things that are holding us back. We have things that we want to get free from. Here's what Jesus is saying. You come these nights, guess what? He's going to heal that sickness. And we're going to see people that are oppressed by sin, oppressed by depression, oppressed by their circumstances or their past, whatever. We're going to see them come in and guess what? Jesus is going to set them free. But it's all dependent. Now watch, here's the key. It's all dependent on how you view these next four nights here, Wednesday through Saturday. You see, you have to have the faith. You have to have the expectation. And you have to give these meetings the honor and value that God wants you to give them. Real quickly, go to Mark chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Jesus is coming back to his hometown. He's ready to do some incredible works in his hometown. And they start kind of like, they're kind of shocked. Like, the miracle worker? You mean this is Jesus? I mean, we grew up with Jesus. Are you kidding me? This is the guy. Look at Mark 6, 3. It says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, except among his own relatives and in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there. Not that he just wouldn't do it, but he couldn't do it. He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. So what was the difference between Mark chapter 1 and Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 1, all these people show up, man. They're ready to get healed. They're ready to wake up in the wind. They're ready to get a breakthrough. They're excited about meeting with Jesus. He heals everybody. He sets everybody free. I mean, it's this unbelievable revival at sundown. But now he goes back to his own town. Now he comes in there and they're like, man, well, is this Jesus? What, this is supposed to be the anointed one? Are you kidding me? This is like Mary's boy. I saw him run around in his diapers back in here. And see, instead of them seeing Jesus as the Son of God, a prophet is without honor except in his own house. This is the house of... They were too familiar. And instead of seeing Jesus as the Son of God, they just saw him as old Jesus. See, what you see is what you get. These revival nights, are you going to see, oh man, Jesus is showing up. We're two or three are gathered. There he is in the midst of them. Man, he gave Pastor Stovall a prophetic word for this. Man, we can sense what God's doing. This is going to be absolutely unbelievable. If I show up, I'm going to get a breakthrough. I'm going to experience God at the next level. I'm going to have my own personal awakening. It's going to be incredible. Or are we going to sit at, oh, just another church meeting? I go to Celebration all the time. See, what you perceive is what you will receive. God, that's good, Stovall. Could you say that again? Thank you for asking me. Yes. What you perceive is what you will receive. How do you perceive Jesus? Are we going to honor these nights? You know, it was amazing. It was amazing. How many of you watched the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago? President Obama. State of the Union address. Okay, not too many of y'all. But listen, I'm not being political, but here's what I noticed. And I don't know why I haven't noticed this before, because I've watched many State of the Unions. But did you notice, like, Obama would be saying something, and of course we know there's all kind of division in Congress and all that kind of stuff, but Obama would be saying something, and then every now and then he'd just say something that kind of everybody agreed on, you know, like America's going to be great, or, you know, whatever, just kind of something like that. And all of a sudden, he would say something like that, and everybody, I mean, all these senators and congressmen, and everybody would rise to their feet and be like, yeah, yeah, erupting, clapping. Presbyterians in that crowd. Methodists in that crowd. Oh, I'm preaching now. It's just a man speaking words that may be positive, but that have no eternal value. And they're honoring the office, standing up more than many of them would ever do in church. How much more Christ, Son of the Living God, when His words come from the pulpit, when He speaks to us His eternal word that's able to save our souls. God said, I've set my word above my name. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And people come into God's house and they'll just sit there like, you better entertain me this weekend, Stovall. You better entertain me. And it better be doctrinally right and scripturally right and all that. And you better make me laugh. And you better have all the songs around it that I like. And yet, you old Pharisee. You a bunch of bones, man. You need the breath of God blown in you. I mean, when I say awaken unto righteousness, look, we're going to have a practice right here. Guess what? We're going to have a practice right here. You ready? I'm about to say a scripture from the Word of God. It's not man's word. It's God's word. And I'm telling you right, I want this place to look way better than that State of the Union address, because we're not just listening to a man. This is not about Republicans, Democrats, Obama, or anything else. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm talking about we need to get some honor for God's word and some honor for God's house. I'll just tell you this scripture. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. What? 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 Come on, man. Yes. You can be seated. Be seated. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What? what? Hallelujah. Come on, come on, Orange Park. Come on, St. John's. Come on, St. Augustine. Come on, ACHS. Yes, it's God's word. It's not man's word. Okay, you can be seated. Now stay seated. Stay seated because I gotta get you guys out of here real quickly. Three things I want you to have when you come this week. And I want you to come every night. And I want you to fast. Can you just give God 4 days? Can you just give Him 4 days? Give Him 4 days to change your life forever. And come with this. Hunger. And all this, these three things have to do with how you value, how you're going to honor these meetings. Come with hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come with determination. Hunger, determination. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She showed up, but once she got there, man, she was determined to reach out and lay hold of her awakening. You come with determination. I'm getting a hold of God. I'm getting a miracle. I'm getting a breakthrough. I'm experiencing the presence of God like never before. And the last thing is, you come with expectation. You just come expecting God's going to do, remember, an exceedingly great army. He's going to even exceed whatever I'm hoping for. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask. And you are going to go out of here after these meetings, a mighty in that army. A mighty overcomer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on, can you give God a hand?
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.